So today begins our 6-week Advent. Advent's usually 4 weeks, but we're going to do 6 weeks. And we are going to be discussing various carols that different leaders in the church will be preaching, teaching, ministering out of a Christmas song, a Christmas carol. And so today is my honor to present to you Miss Wadella Thomas. And I don't remember your... It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Come on up.
Can you hear me now? Yes, there's a discussion about the title. It came upon the midnight clear. It came upon a midnight clear. And you might ask yourself, well, what difference does that make, whether it's the or a? A means any midnight. Means one, wait a minute, let me say this again. It means a midnight among many, okay? There are many midnights. So a midnight could have been any one of the many, okay? But when you say the midnight, that's a specific time. That's a specific midnight. It wasn't just any run-of-the-mill midnight. All right, so I ask myself, like I never asked myself before, what was the it? It came upon the midnight clear. And I did ask someone, well, what does it mean to you? But I'm not going to tell you what they said. I just want you to think about it. If you have a pen or pencil, write it down, what you think the it is referring to. Now, in doing research sometimes, you know, the guide questions are who, what, where, when, why, how. Okay, I think I left one out, but that's all right. And I use those same questions in doing research upon this song. And it turned out to be quite interesting. To tell you the truth, I didn't even know where to start. Do I start with the biblical reference, or do I start with the person who wrote it and how it came about? I think for right now, I'm going to tell you something about the person who wrote it. The gentleman that wrote the song, and actually he didn't write the song, he wrote a poem. Edmund Sears. Now, that name's going to stick with you. It stuck with me. Sears. I don't think it had anything to do with Sears Roebuck, but it just stuck. Edmund Sears. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, Edmund Sears was a pastor of the Unitarian Church in Wayland, Massachusetts. Now, this is just a little side thing. Wayland wouldn't mean anything to you, but it means something to me because that's the name of the community that I live in. Okay? Wayland. All right. Now, he moved to Lancaster, Mass. To serve at a larger church after 7 years of very hard work. This dear man suffered a nervous breakdown. And so he returned to Wayland's, where he had a much happier life. He wrote It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, or the Midnight Clear, while serving as a part-time preacher in Wayland. He wrote during a period of personal melancholy, and he was saddened by the news that he was hearing about what was going on in Europe. Europe was a time of revolution. Many governments were falling or changing in a violent way. He was also saddened about what was going on in the United States at the time. The Mexican War, or Mexican-American War, which some said was just a land-grabbing exercise or opportunity. But the issue was Texas, you know, the land. It wasn't called Texas then, but that land. That's what they were fighting about. So he was in a emotional state of sadness and gloom. Sears saw the world as dark, full of sin and strife. But, check this out. He was concerned that the world was not hearing the Christmas message. That was his concern, that people were not getting it. What is Christmas all about? All right. Edmund Sears was, as I said, a minister in a church that did not embrace the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This song, It Came Upon Midnight Clear, it does not mention God or Jesus Christ. Well, hey, what makes this song stand out? It doesn't mention God, doesn't mention Jesus Christ, doesn't mention Bethlehem. But the focus of this song, well, actually it was a poem, it was focused on its own time, what was going on during his time. And it was focused on the contemporary issue of war and peace. Because it was written in 1849, it has been assumed to be Sears' response to the just-ended Mexican-American War. Some would even say that the song was more of a humanist or worldly song. Not a spiritual hymn, not a Christian hymn. Oh, no. Mm-mm. But that was not a fair criticism, because Sears was a devout Christian who was deeply troubled by the state of the world around him. Now, check this out. He believed in a fully human and fully divine Christ. He was deeply interested in the mystical tradition. And I'm going to pause right here, because we've been talking about, well, I won't say we've been talking about, but mysteries has been coming up in our Bible studies, has it not? Yeah. Okay. So he was interested in the mystical tradition. And this gentleman had a theological independent mind. So he did some thinking, which sometimes took him off in odd directions. He was a passionate opponent of slavery. He actually prophesied or forecast before the Civil War that America would reap, and this is in quotes, would reap the whirlwind of its sin. So, not only did he fear the future of his own nation, but also Europe, that had just suffered its year of revolutions, in which governments across the continent had been swept violently away. In 1848 also saw the publication of the Communist Manifesto. And, of course, I mentioned the war. We must remember that in spite of Sears' illness, his depression, and political concerns, he wrote the hymn to express God's desire for peace through the rule of the Prince of peace. That was his main concern. That was his main purpose in writing this poem. He believed that Christian human efforts to make a perfect world can only be completed by the graciousness of God, who in the end will make all things new. Now, the graciousness of God, we've been hearing a lot about what? The grace of God. Oh, yeah. Sears seems to have had this in mind, especially in the last verse. And if not, it is certainly how we should sing it. Now, that's something about the person who wrote the song. Actually, as I said, I don't know if I made it clear or not, but he wrote it as a poem. And then a friend of another minister asked him to write. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. He wrote it as a poem in 1849, and then another gentleman put it to music in 1850. Yes. Now, Edmund Sears wrote the poem because a fellow pastor had asked him to write something for his Sunday school. Now, when I started out researching the song, it said that it was based on, the song itself was based on Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So I turned to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and I said, yeah, but I think he read more than just the verses 8 and 9. So I had to read some more. And, I know what I want to do. What I want to do, I thought this was interesting. I found this to be fun, too. I want to read verses 8 and 9 from different versions. Yes. Okay, different versions of the Bible. Okay, so the NASB version of Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Amplified Bible. Verse 8. And in the vicinity, there were shepherds living out under the open sky, in the field, watching in shifts over their flocks by night. Verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly frightened. English Standard Version. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The Message Version. And there were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They set night watches on over their sheep. Verse 9, suddenly God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. So, but I don't think any of those verses that I just read were during Edmund's time. So he probably was familiar with King James Version. And I'll just read verse 8 and 9. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Lo, I had to check that out. What did that mean, lo? It means lo and behold. Well, when I was a kid growing up, I used to hear people say all the time, well, lo and behold, you know, they would be telling stories. Lo and behold, I don't hear that much anymore. Have any of you not heard it? Okay. It's been a while. All right. Now, as I said before, I had to do a little more reading of chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In verse 10, it reads, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." Remember now, they were terribly frightened when the angel appeared. All the translations said they were scared, afraid. I don't think they used the word scared, but anyway, you got the picture. And so in verse 10 it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So I think probably when he wrote the poem that he had to, I mean, this is just my thinking, he had to read more than what they said. All right, now, the song itself, everybody should have a copy. And again, it's amazing. Some places you read, it came upon the Midnight Clear. And in some places you'd read, it came upon a Midnight Clear. Edmund, he was 38 years old when he wrote the poem. He was 66 at the time of his death. So he was born in 1810, died in 1876. The Mexican War was fought between 1846 and 48. The poem was written in 1849. 1850, it was set to music. The Civil War was fought in 1861 to 1865. All right, now, I think now would be the time to hear, see, understand this version of It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Now, here's what I want you to pay attention to. You have a copy. And you should have a copy. And if you can, notice any changes between the copy that you have in your hand and what you're going to see on the screen. Okay?
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of above its For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets long foretold. When with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when
forgive me. The Lutheran Book of Worship, they leave out the third verse. Am I getting that right? Okay, they leave out the third verse, but the Methodist hymnal, okay, I got that backwards. The Methodist, the hymnal omits the fourth verse. They don't sing it at all, okay? And the Lutheran Book of Worship, they omit the third verse. But this rendition, this version or rendition of the song, they left out verse 3 and 4. Yeah. So they sang first, second, and the last verse. All right. Now, before we hear another version, let me share this. And I just discovered this last night, to tell you the truth, because I was still going over notes, and I had avoided it. I had avoided it because of the title. And the title was, It Came Upon a Unitarian Midnight Clear. So I just, you know, skirted all around it and wouldn't check it out. So then the curiosity got me, so I checked it out. And this is what it says. Even in Unitarian Universalist churches that rarely talk about Jesus, we sing Christmas carols. This is an article by Ken Sawyer. So I'm reading it as he wrote it. He says, we sing Christmas carols. Maybe this shouldn't be surprising. Their popularity in America began about the time a Unitarian minister, the Reverend Edmund Hamilton Sears, wrote It Came Upon the Midnight Clear in 1849. Some say the carol was first performed by parishioners gathered in his home on Christmas Eve. Another account says he wrote the carol for the Sunday school of the Unitarian Church in Quincy, Massachusetts. In those days, people didn't sing carols in church, where they were thought inappropriately childish or secular, as opposed to old hymns like O Come, All Ye Faithful. And not many carols had been written. We don't know where the carol was first performed, nor do we know what tune they sang, since the one to which we sing it now wasn't written until the next year by the New York organist Richard Willis. Sears' words are both beautiful and powerful. The message is grounded in the first verse in the biblical past. It becomes prophetic in the last verse, which raises yet again the hope. Ta-da. The hope of a time to come of peace on earth. When Pastor Michelle was talking about hope, and I was just sitting there and I was thinking, God, you're so great, you're so wonderful, you're so magnificent. And he plans things out, because when I finish up, and that's what I'm finishing up with, hope. Okay, so, which raises yet again the hope of a time to come of peace on earth. But it is most strikingly put in his third verse. The world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Now, when I read that, instead of saying, oh, hush, it was like to me, oh, shut up, be quiet, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Seer's song is remarkable for its focus, not on Bethlehem, but on his own time, and on the ever-contemporary issue of war and peace. It says that the call to peace and goodwill to all is as loud on any day as it was on that night, on that midnight of old. And if we would but listen in solemn stillness. The point of view can be disconcerting to some Christians who note that the angel song doesn't have anything in particular to do with Jesus, who is never mentioned. Indeed, some Christians have been trying to have our popular carol removed from their denominational hymn books. Others have simply rewritten the words. But in some denominations' hymn books, the last verse has been written to give Jesus a larger role. Ironically, Sears was considered theologically conservative by other Unitarians in his day. Of all the carols that use the Christian story and its language and images, none lifts up a universal human hope more beautifully than Edmund Sears did, singing of the perennial hope of peace. Now, can we go to that second version, please? And notice again any differences or changes.
He came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending beneath the earth to touch their hearts of gold. He sung the earth goodwill to men from hymns, O gracious King. The world is
Okay, did anyone pick up any variations yet? No third verse. Okay. And some versions, in the last verse it says, and the whole world give back the song, and the whole world send back the song. And also in the last verse, by prophet Barb's foretold, that's been changed by some scene of old. Yes. All right. So, I came across this, and I'm going to share this with you, and this is going to be my closing. And then maybe after I sing this, maybe we would just sing the song. Okay. This is entitled, As We Come to Christmas Morning, a look at it came upon the midnight clear. And you know what, this is the plan of God, because it goes right back to what Pastor was talking about. She didn't know I had this. I didn't know she was going to say what she said. So here we go. With all the hustle and bustle and marketing and pounding messages that lead up to Christmas in our current day, we so often hear people around us, and sometimes even ourselves, say, only 5 more days, or 6, or 2, or 1, and then Christmas will be done. Christmas can come quickly. No, I didn't read that right. Christmas can quickly become a thing to get through, rather than a time to cherish, love, and grow in hope. Isn't God something? He's amazing. Because I said, you know what? I don't know if I have to share this or not. I'm so glad I listened to him. I don't know what to do. All right. It is interesting to note that this song was written shortly prior to the United States entering a civil war, and the country weighed heavily with strife and dispute. They needed peace, and we need it now as well. This is entitled, 3 Ways to Welcome Christmas. And based on the song, number one, be still to hear those angels. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Stillness is hard to come by in our society, isn't it? When busy, and that's in quotes, is treated as a stamp of success. To actually protect time and space for stillness can be regarded poorly. But besides the many health benefits of stillness and rest, we need stillness to listen really listen and observe and see and hear what God is speaking to us through his creation. Point number two, look for the good news. As a song, as there's a sentence in the song, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. We see hurt everywhere we turn right now. Children torn from families, refugees unable to obtain basic needs of life, of safety, food, and home. Selfish action instead of cooperation. But if we seek the light, we will find it. Listen for the wing beats of goodness. Watch our brothers and sisters acting as hands and feet in sharing love. We can choose to put good into the world in his name. We can see the joy. And the third point, react, praise, and hope. And the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Choose to react with hope and gratitude. Choosing to react with hope and gratitude can be tough, but it's something that takes daily renewal and a strength greater than our own. But let's keep praising, thanking, and hoping. One day, the whole world can sing the angels' song back. I don't care. The last one.
Did I say that?
Upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. His on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Yeah. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled. Still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing.
Yeah.
close with this. Hope. Now is the season to believe. Stories may not have gone as we had hoped, but hope is not gone. Hope comes down, and hope never stops coming. We can't afford to lose hope. If we lose hope, we lose our future, we lose our faith, we lose our fight, we lose our fortitude. So let's determine right now. Let's hope. Hope. Let's hear those angels and share the good news that Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you so much. That was good, Wadella. We really enjoyed that. Yes, we did. Right? Well, and the whole time that I was having this vision, and then when the Lord was speaking to me, and I was like, this doesn't even feel like, what are you speaking to me about, Lord? But I think it was to go in with what you were saying. So that worked out good. This year's doing it. So praise God. So next week, I believe, is Mel. Okay, what is your song? Okay, well, we'll see. Double check that list. Make sure you don't take somebody else's song. All right, guys. Well, remember, lift one another in prayer. Think about one another this week. Start posturing your heart for Christmas, because it really is about the message. Peace on earth. Steve, do me a favor. Pull up Casting Crowns. I heard Christmas bells. Casting Crowns. They have a piece on earth. It's called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And you don't have to stay and listen if you don't want, but I love the way that this song goes, because it has the same message, but it's more contemporary. Because we don't believe. Keep pulling, working on it. You found it already? You're quick. Okay. But one of the things is, I was thinking about the Civil War, and we're actually in a Civil War in America right now. It's just not with guns and cannons. We're in a Civil War of our hearts and minds. And instead of guns and cannons, we're using words and publications. And the intention is no less vile before God. Our hearts exposed before God are no less angry, no less, right? Because Jesus said, if you even say you hate your brother, you might as well kill them. And if you're on any amount of social media, any amount of television, if you're in a restaurant, in a store, anywhere, you feel this division. Because in many ways, there is a civil war. And it's a loss of civility, of kindness, intention, and goodness toward one another. So that's why I'm hoping our hearts will turn to this idea of peace on earth. Go ahead, Steve. The peace on earth looks like something. And there will be a day that our weapons are beat into plowshares. Because that's why the kingdom came. Not to destroy the world, not to wipe humanity off. But it doesn't have the lyrics.
They're all familiar carols.
Okay, should have asked for that. All right. Enjoy. God bless. Have a great week. Hopefully see some of you Wednesday.